Man, take your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. Tonight we're going to get part 2 of character traits of wise people. And as I said last week, of course we've studied characteristics of fools. Now we are character traits or characteristics of wise people. Nobody is all wise except God. Nobody. The Bible says in Job, I believe it's 32, says great men are not always wise. We all lack judgment from time to time. But God wants us to be wise. God's given us the ability to be wise. God's given us the wherewithal to be wise. And God has given us many different ways in which to get wisdom. And so I want to help you with it. We went through about 8 things last week, I think. And tonight we're going to start on number 9, Proverbs chapter 12. And I want you to look at verse number 15. And I'm going to jump right in. We'll get through as many of these tonight as we can and finish them up when I get back. I don't think I'll get through them all because I have 30 of them. And I don't think I'm going to get through 21 or 22 of them tonight. All right, so we'll get the rest later here. Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. He that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 28. Virtually the same principle stated, just slightly different. Proverbs 28, verse number 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Whosoever walketh wisely shall be delivered. Point number 9 is this: a wise person seeks counsel. A wise person seeks counsel. Not just going to go get advice. Proverbs 12:15 says, but he hearkeneth unto it. He doesn't just go find out somebody's opinion. He goes knowing he's going to do what he's told to do. You know, if your check engine light's on, you go to the mechanic and he says, you're about to lose your engine, and if you don't replace this part, you're going to lose your engine. It's not real wise to say, well, I'll get it later. You got his advice, but if you don't follow it, what good is it? Wise people are not forced to go seek counsel. The Bible says that a wise man will seek counsel. It doesn't say they're forced to go get it. A wise person realizes that they're not always right. I've had to make a big decision recently. I'm not leaving the church, don't worry. It has nothing to do with that, but there was an issue that I was dealing with. I talked to 8 different people about this decision. People that I trusted with wisdom, and I presented it very carefully, many of which did not know the situation, but I gave them a scenario. And I got as much wisdom about making the decision as I could. One of the people I checked with said, well, I don't think you ought to make a decision yet. Well, I've been waiting 2 years to make the decision. I wasn't going to wait any longer. But 7 of the 8 said, this is what we think you should do. Now, I didn't have all 8 advisors advise me. But I figured 7 out of the 8 is pretty awful good. I trust them. And I know more about the situation than the one that said, let's just wait. And it's not a problem. Wise people don't let their pride get in the way to keep them from seeking wisdom. You know, I don't think I know it all. I know that's hard for some of you to believe. But I don't. I don't pretend to know it all. I probably know more different things than the average person. But it doesn't mean I know everything. I probably know more people than the average person. And I know more people in more different areas that if I don't know the answer, I'll say, let me get back to you. And I'll go get advice for you. You might not have the wherewithal. If you have the wherewithal, I'll say, I don't know, but go see this person, and that person will give you the best advice you can get on that. I have no problem with that. Can I tell you when you have a good doctor? When they say, that's a little out of my league. Let me send you to somebody that can help you with that. Now, if you're going to have somebody open your heart up, work on your heart, amen, Brother Harry, you don't want the guy that's still training at medical school.
Right.
Now, I realize those guys got to get their experience somewhere, but they're not going to start on me. I want somebody that's got a proven track record. That's just the way it goes. And by the way, in the medical field, when it comes to that kind of stuff, you don't start off just out of medical school doing that. You've assisted multiple times. And I get that. It's just like you never want to be on a plane and the pilot comes on and says, well, this is my first flight as a pilot. Wrong answer. That'll probably happen to me at 6 o'clock Tuesday morning. You say, what are you going to do? I'll be working. It doesn't matter to me. My wife might be afraid, but I won't. At least if we die, we're dying together, so it doesn't matter. Now, a wise person doesn't let his pride get in the way, though. Wise people realize they never have to make a bad decision if they seek counsel. When I was in Bible college, I believe I was a freshman. There was an older preacher on our Bible faculty, Mrs. Lopez, and my wife would recognize this name, and I don't think anybody else here would, but his name was Dr. Carl Laurent. Joe, you would. Dr. Laurent was an old man, and I mean grizzled old man. He got saved out of a rough background. He went to a liberal college and then got into fundamentalism, and he was the most soul-winning-minded man I ever met in my life. Just a good... He asked me one day, he said, Bush, he said, what are you doing this weekend? I said, well, I'm working my Bible club and whatever else I need to do. He said, I'm preaching a meeting in Michigan just a couple hours up the road. He said, you have a car. He said, do you think your parents would let you drive me to a meeting, stay in a hotel with me, and I'll preach and you can spend the weekend with me and I'll get you back? I said, I can find out. So I called, got permission from my folks, and we got the appropriate passes filled out to go, and I went on a preaching trip with Dr. Laurent. I didn't preach, I listened. We were driving across Indiana, just getting close to Michigan state line. He looked at me and he said, Craig, he said, let me ask you a question. I'm thinking I'm the one supposed to be asking questions. Don't ask me anything. I don't know anything. He said, if you seek counsel, do you think God would give your counselor the right answer to your question? I said, yes, sir. He said, why do you believe that? I said, well, I think the Holy Spirit would prompt godly leadership to give him the right answer to help me. That wise old man looked at me and said, I guess you never have to make a wrong decision then if you seek counsel for everything. That was in 1985. That was 33 years ago, and I still remember it like he was sitting in the front of my 1981 Escort. I remember it as plain as day. That rung in my brain. I thought, wow. And boy, for the next hour, he began to expound on that one thought. He drilled it into my head. Can I tell you something? I've made bad decisions, but the bad decisions haven't been when I sought counsel. It's when I didn't seek counsel. And every time I make one of those, I say, why didn't you go get some advice? So wise person seeks counsel. Number 10, I got to hurry up here. Proverbs chapter 12, look at verse number 18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. I love this. Wise people build with their words, not destroy. Wise people build with their words, not destroy. The Bible says there is like the piercings of a sword. They cut. Have you ever had somebody cut you with their words? Sometimes it's not what words they say, it's how they say their words. You know, you can say something nice with a nasty attitude and hurt somebody, not intending to. Men, we have to be careful, especially around women and children. Can I tell you why? Our voices can get gruff. We can get aggressive and not know we are. I'm constantly watching my tone of voice. I'll lean over to my wife every once in a while after a church service. We'll be driving. I said, did I get too rough? I didn't mean to. I'm trying to keep myself in check. I try not to. I won't let my position change. I didn't ask if my position was too strong. Just asked if I was too rough. I don't apologize for what I stand on. I may apologize if I said it a little too mean. A little too rough. Not always. But wise people aren't critical. They're not critical speakers. They're not critical thinkers. There are too many critics in our world today. Wise people are encouragers, not destroyers. I'm just going to go ahead and say this. I think President Trump is doing an above average job. Can you imagine what he would do if he didn't have everybody criticizing him? I think the last president we had did well below average. Matter of fact, there wasn't many underneath him.
Yes, sir.
I think Jimmy Carter can now die a happy man and won't be the worst president of the United States.
Yes, sir.
I wished it was an understatement, and he was under it. Now, wait a minute. But look at who praised him. If the current president got the praise that the former president got, think of how much better America could be right now. Wise people are peacemakers. They don't create turmoil. They don't create fights. I'll be very careful how I say this. Recently, I had to take a step back from a preacher whom I've known for decades. But I didn't do it in such a way to where I created a fight. Matter of fact, most of which I blamed it all on me, and I just simply took a step back. That's all I did. I just stepped back. But there was a certain stand I had to take. I didn't say, you lousy reprobate, you're doing this, you're doing that, I think you're wicked as the devil, I'm never going to... No. I said, I'm not stepping back from our friendship. I just need to withdraw from this certain area. I love you. You're my friend. And I just kind of took a little step back. That's all I did. Him knowing every reason why isn't going to change anything. So why start a fight? Why not maintain a friendship so that maybe one day he says, why is that? Or one day he'll come to his senses and say, maybe I've moved farther than I thought I did. Wise people are builders, not turmoil creators. Wise people avoid conflict as much as possible. Wise people don't get in social media spats. Ouch. It's amazing how nasty people can be with the typed word. Well, I didn't say it. Well, your thumbs did and your brain did. What's the difference? I don't fight with people. I really don't. I'll fight the stinking devil. That's it. You say, well, this person is the devil. No, they're not. A wise person builds with words. They don't destroy with words. Let's go to the next one. You'll be glad of that. Proverbs chapter 13. Look at verse number 1. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Wise people listen to their parents as children. This is for you young people. This is for you parents. A wise person in their youth learned how to listen to people in authority. The earlier you learn it, the farther you'll go in life. I promise you. Well, I think one of the funniest things I've ever heard, Brother Harry. Well, I want to be my own man. I'm going to go join the Marines. wrong answer. I give you about 30 seconds and you figure out you're not your own man. It doesn't. Yeah, you're, moron would be on high on the scale. Amen. Well, I just want to be my own. Yeah, right. Wise people aren't forced to obey. If you're forced to obey, you're not obeying. If somebody has to make you obey, you're not obeying. Wise young people realize adults have more life lived and know more about life than you do. Malachi, you're what, 16? Or almost? 16, all right. Malachi is to that age of life where he's about to figure out he knows everything. Takes after his mother. You opened it up. I put both feet in for you. Now, wait a minute. Malachi, have you paid the rent yourself for the last year? Have you paid the electric bill, the water bill, sewer bill, trash bill? And yet, pay car payments, car insurance, life insurance. Every teenager in the world thinks they know what it takes till they find out that first month how much it takes. I work with a lot of young people, and two can live cheaper than one. Whoever sold you that bill of goods made an awful lot of money off of you. Yeah. I'm telling you what, two people can't live for what one person lives for. But one person doesn't live cheap either. Well, I'm going to go get my own apartment. All right. How much is it? Well, it's only $750 a month. Great. That means this. Before you get in that apartment, you got to have your first month's rent. You have to have another month's rent as a deposit. Then you have to pay an extra $150 to get the electric turned on into your name. Then you have to pay an extra $75 to get the water and sewer put into your name. So now instead of $750, you need somewhere in the ballpark of $2,000 just to get in the door. And that doesn't include renter's insurance. That doesn't include everything that you're going to need to live there. No groceries, no nothing yet. Well, it's only $750 a month. Yeah, where are you going to come up with the other $1,300 to walk through the door? So it costs a little bit more. I used to tell my kids all the time, my kids would leave and they'd hit that little wall financially. And, Dad, I don't quite get it here. I said, yeah, us adults make it look easy, don't we? When Josh got married, he said, Dad, do you know how expensive groceries are? I said, yeah, do you remember me saying go out back and graze a while? He said, do you know how expensive meat is? I said, now you know why we shot so many deer every year. That's why we ground all of our own burger. That's why we did all of that butchering. He said, man, it's expensive. I said, yep, and eating steak three or four times a week doesn't cut the mustard when you didn't shoot the steak, does it? I said, you lived better than you knew. He said, man. He said, no wonder we hunted so much. I said, you got it. Now, wise people listen to adults. We've experienced a lot more life than you have. It doesn't mean we're the smartest thing in the world, but we've done an awful lot more than you have even thought about doing. Wise young people obey lost parents as long as they're not told to do something sinful. Children obey your parents. It doesn't say children obey your saved parents. I'm just going to go ahead and say this. Wise children accept step-parents as parents. Because if your dad's married to another lady, and that's your stepmom, they are two are one, therefore that is a parent. Same is true with your mom. If she's married to another man, those both you have four parents instead of two. See, well, that's a little confusing. Doesn't matter. They're all your parents. And as long as you're not asked to do something sinful, you should obey them as parents. We should honor them as parents. Did you know you can honor somebody you really don't like a whole lot? Wise young people will let adults instruct them. And I'm going to get going on that one. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 1. Everybody doing all right? I think we're going to get through a few extra of these tonight, but not all of them. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 1. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Proverbs 14:1. A wise person builds a home that honors God. It says, every wise woman buildeth her house. It's in reference to her household. Now, I want everybody to listen to me on this one, whether you're young or old or somewhere in between. That means this, every home has to be built right from dating on. If you'll date right, there's a chance you'll marry right. That's why Christian people shouldn't date lost people. That's why Christian people shouldn't date somebody that's not right with God. How can you make right decisions for God to build your house if somebody's going the opposite direction away from God? It doesn't work well. So date and marry right. And I won't go into that. I'll teach a whole Wednesday night on dating, and one of these days it'll shock you. Let me give you the insight on it. Did you know that in Genesis chapter 2, Adam never one time asked God for a wife? God saw Adam needed a wife. Adam didn't realize he needed a wife. He was so busy doing the work God made him to do, God looked down and said, Adam, it's not good for you that you should be alone. I'll make you a helpmeet. Then the book of Proverbs says, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. That word find doesn't mean you're looking for and searching for, like you lost your keys before you came to church and couldn't find them. Right, Arlene? It literally means to stumble upon, to trip over. God says that if you'll be busy doing the work and the will that I have for you, I'll bring the right person across your path. You'll literally trip over them. Amen. Or knock them over with brooms in their hand, like I did many years ago. 29 years ago, this coming Sunday, we will have been married. Praise the Lord for that. It'll be 29 years this Sunday. I got my last speeding ticket. Amen. Praise the Lord. That is one thing I still can keep. A wise person, building doesn't mean picking it apart. To build something, you don't nitpick it. Everybody understand that? When you build something, you study in advance. You measure and plan in advance. You make your cut, you make your nails, and you go forward, and then you fight with the county. Amen, Miss? Mrs. Sear had a little battle this week with the county. She has a little taste of what we have been fighting. Oh, my soul. A wise person doesn't try to pick everything apart. A very wise person financially one day taught me, you can be penny wise and dollar foolish. There are people that they want to pick every penny, but then they'll go out and buy the most expensive thing that they can't afford. For what? You'll pay $100 for something I can pay $5 for. You say, well, yeah, but you'll have to buy yours two or three times. Okay, then I'll have $15 in it, and you're still going to have to buy it too. I still saved $85. Everybody doing all right? A wise person doesn't make war at every little thing. Do you know there are some things not worth fighting over? That's right. That's There are some things not worth fighting over. I took my daughter on a date. Well, she took me on a date yesterday. My Father's Day date. Say, what did you do? I went and bought her a dress. She said, Daddy, what do you want to do? I said, just get in the car. I'll show you. She said, no, I wanted to do something for you. I said, you did. You let me buy you a dress. That's what this daddy wants to do for his daughter. That's what I wanted for Father's Day. So I went out and I bought her a dress. And of course, we had to have something else to go with it, so we had to go to another store to get that too. We picked out 3, 4, 5 of those things. We found one that she wanted. My taste isn't her taste, but I'm also not 20 years old either. I'm not used to buying dresses for a 20-year-old. I'm used to buying dresses for my wife, who's only 29.
Right, right.
Again. Did I get out of that one? Tried. Tried real hard. I guess I'm going to sleep outside tonight. Now, wait a minute. Our taste isn't the same, but as we looked through dresses, you say, Preacher, I can't picture you doing that. I had fun yesterday. Now, I wasn't really having much fun while she was in the dressing room, and I'm walking around. You know, they never put anything interesting near dressing rooms. You got to walk halfway across the store, you know, and I'm trying to stay near in case whatever. So I'm looking at a bunch of nothing. And she comes out, and she's got one in her hand. I thought, well, is that the one you want? Yeah, I really like the other one, Daddy, but it was about an inch too short. I said, no way to fix it? Nope. I said, okay. I said, is this what you want? Yes, sir. I said, let's go. She said, well, I need to find something else that goes with it. And we looked and looked and looked and looked. I said, there's another store next door. Let's go over there. Let's buy this. And I was going to take it back to the car. She said, Daddy, we need this so I can match the color. Brother Harry, what in God's name do you got to do that for? I'm colorblind. It all looks the same. Good grief. So we went and found the other thing. Got that all cared for. And then we went to lunch. I let her buy lunch because she was getting a little testy. She was getting hangry. But now, wait a minute. A wise person, though, builds. Learn to build. Don't tear down. I didn't say, ooh, I don't think that's good. There was nothing wrong with it. It may not have been my taste, but I kind of liked it. I think it's one of the ones I handed to her. I don't know.
As long as you didn't try it on.
No. There ain't no fear of that, trust me. None whatsoever. No desire.
That's good.
But a wise person builds. A wise person constructs. The Bible says, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down. When you pluck feathers out of a chicken, you're just pulling them. You're pulling everything. Some people pull their family apart at home. Every little thing. Everybody doing okay? Some people pick it away emotionally. You're just too emotional about that. Okay, did you hear how you just said that? Did you know that anger and frustration are emotions? Some people pick it apart physically. Some people pick it apart spiritually. Some of you want the next Billy Sunday and Jackie Robertson rolled into one. Not everybody is going to think the way you think. And when they're 7 years old, they're not going to be the next Jack Hiles. Be the Jack Hiles of 7 years old. Not the Jack Hiles of 70 years old. Everybody doing okay? All right. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 16. I love this. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. Number 13, wise people fear and avoid evil. Wise people fear and avoid evil. It says here, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil. Now, I've said this before. Let me say it again. Sin and evil are two different things. Sin is the breaking of a law, the crossing of a line. The word transgress means to go over. You've crossed over, trespass. If you trespass onto somebody else's property, you've crossed a property line that you shouldn't cross. That's not yours to go into. Evil is when two or more people get together to purposely destroy somebody else. It is a planned conspiracy of two or more people to destroy. Now, the Bible says that wise people walk away from the conspiracy to tear somebody down or destroy somebody. Wise people don't listen to gossip. Wise people don't just use gossip, but they don't listen to gossip. Wise people don't take part in vengeance. Well, I'll get back at them. You don't need to do that. Wise people... Okay, everybody listen to this very carefully. A wise person, and I'm not lifting me up, but if they have to take a step back from a friend, don't tell all their friends who that friend is and get them all upset and riled to go fight against that person. That's evil. That's evil. I think I mentioned it Sunday. I think it's evil for a church to make someone who's done something wrong get up in church and tell them what wrong they did in front of the whole church. That's evil.
Yes, sir.
You're ruining that person. Brother Joe, I don't think I've met anybody that's ever gone through that ever came out unscathed and better for it. Not for decades. Not a one. Usually it ruins them. Say why? Because it's evil. It's wicked as the devil. I've heard fundamental preachers say, well, there are just certain sins. Show me in the Bible. Where does it say this sin you're supposed to do that? Who's the determining factor of which sins? In other words, it's evil. Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm having fun with that. People who want to hurt somebody. Wise people fear being around somebody like that. Do you know I don't hang around preachers that destroy other people? I know certain preachers, their favorite thing in life is to chase people down and destroy anybody that makes a slight infraction on what they think is fundamentalism. I avoid those people like the plague. I do. I'm not saying that they are necessarily bad people, but they're participating in evil. Wise people do not watch evil for entertainment. I'm just going to go ahead and say this. Wise people don't study evil things. You don't need to study witchcraft to be against witchcraft. You don't have to study demonology to know that it's wrong. You don't have to study false religion to realize it's wrong. Did you know you don't need to know all the ins and outs of Mormonism and Muslimism and Mohammedism and all the other isms out there? If you'll just study the truth, error will reveal itself. One of the most dangerous things you can do is, and I hate to say it, it's not my mom and dad's fault, they weren't taught this either. One of the worst things you can do is do an in-depth study on rock music and the evils of it. Just study what good music is, evil will show itself.
Did you know you can birth a child into right music into a Christian home, and by the time they're 4 or 5 years old, they can tell you what's good music and bad music? You don't have to tell them. They'll know, ooh, daddy, that's bad music. Yeah. Oh, mama, that's really bad. Yeah, that's really bad. They know. Everybody doing all right?
I got to hurry here. Number 14. Look at Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 2. Proverbs 15, verse number 2. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Wise people speak wisely. Wise people speak wisely. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 2.
Wise people won't use knowledge against somebody. If you come see me for advice, I'm not going to get up in church the next week and say, well, bless God, some of you, this is what you do. And I'm not going to preach a whole sermon at you. I'm not going to, matter of fact, by next Sunday, I don't even remember what we talked about. I really don't. When I counsel somebody and you leave my office or I leave that appointment with you, I never think about it again. I couldn't tell you what we talked about. He'll come back months later and say, preacher, do you remember?
Mm-mm.
What did we talk about? You'll have to refresh my memory. Because I'd never think about it again.
It's not in there. God has given me the ability to hit the delete button, and it's gone. It's not because I'm ignorant. It's because I don't plan things based on just your problem. Wise people don't use knowledge against them. I've counseled enough preachers and people around the country. I could ruin a lot of people.
Why would I want to do that?
Wise people make truth the issue, not what they want, not what they think. You know, the issue is truth. Doesn't matter what I want. It really doesn't. There are things I do I don't want to do, but truth demands I do it.
The step back I took recently, I did not want to do. I took 2 years to make a decision. I waited 2 full years. And I took a decision. But I'm not going to use it against the person either.
Everybody doing okay? Wise people do know that they are not the source of all truth. Dr. Anderson and I were talking recently. He called me. I said, Doc, I said, I've talked to you an awful lot lately. He said, Brother Bush, every time I talk to you, you have something good going on at your church. You always talk positive, and you always teach me something. He said, I had so much fun going back to the airport with you the other day. He said, I didn't want it to stop. He said, you have taught me things. I said, I did? He said, yeah. He said, that's why I'm going to keep calling. I said, all right, keep calling. You see, wise people will not push their opinion or preferences. They'll push truth.
I was talking to a pastor last weekend. I was trying to help him with what he did not know was coming his way. I gave him one little principle by which I live in the ministry. And I use it, watch this big word, I use it unilaterally in many different situations. That's a good one, wasn't it? All right? That's a
more than a three-syllable word most of you can't pronounce, amen? Now, wait a minute. I use this principle, and I can show you how to deal with it in the media, in politics, where you work, every part of it. I can show you how this principle goes across the board, saved or lost. I taught this principle in about 60 seconds to a pastor. He's my age or older. He said, whoa. Hold on. He said, back up, Brother Bush. I did. He said, say that again. I did. He said, where'd you learn that? I told him. He said, how come I haven't heard that before? I said, because you weren't where I was. I will later. But in the process, he said, boy, does that make dealing with people an awful lot easier. I said, oh, trust me. This is one of the most important statements. I said, you better write it down. He said, I won't have to write that one down. I got that one memorized already. He said, I wished I'd have known that 20 years ago. I said, it will help you. Just remember it. He said, wow. He said, Brother Bush, he said, I know you were worried about being negative. He said, but man, this is all positive. You're going to help me not just with this situation, but for the rest of my ministry. I said, good. He said, can I call you again one of these days? I said, anytime. You say, why? Because we're talking about truth. You know, we weren't talking about people. We were talking about truth. I'll do one more. Let's try Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 7. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. A wise person plants truth at all time.
Wise people disperse. They plant. They spread truth. By the way, that's why being a soul winner will help you gain wisdom. Because you're getting truth out, not opinion. Isn't it amazing? You can sit in the average seminary, and Dr. Fatbottom, who has more degrees than temperature, can tell you how to run a church, and he hadn't built a popsicle stand. He hadn't spread truth. Do you know if the hay sits in the barn too long, it rots? You put the seed in the barn and leave it there for a few years, what's going to happen to it? It rots. It's worthless. There's too much seed in the barn. Time to go out and scatter the seed and plant the seed to get more plant, more product. The average person sits there and thinks they know something and they don't do anything with it. What good is it? The Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians that knowledge puffeth up. Is one of my favorite Bible illustrations in the entire Bible. Brother Harry, you know what it's like. The other day it was 98 degrees with a heat index of 108. And you drive down Route 70 or Route 340, and there's a deer laying on the side of the road. And it looks like a basketball blew up inside of it. It's like this. Okay? And you come back at the end of the day, and that thing exploded all over the place. And you can smell it a mile away. Well, before it blew up, it was puffed up. That is exactly what that term in 1 Corinthians means. Knowledge can puff up. It's full of death, defilement. It just sits there and starts building and creating a puffiness about it. But it's worthless. It's dead. One of my boys one day, we were out groundhog hunting. It was hot. We'd had about 3 weeks of that 90-plus degree weather. An old farmer had a cow that he threw in a rock break that had been dead for about 2 weeks of that thing. And my son says, Dad, watch this. And I said, don't shoot. Pow! Oh, Lord. I grabbed the other one and said, let's go. And boy, the wind was blowing right back at him. He got a good face full of that, and he was gagging about as much as a boy could gag without throwing up. Fortunately, I got around it before it happened. I said, what? He said, I don't know, Dad. I said, you want to go do another? He said, I don't want to get close enough to shoot that thing again. All right. Wait a minute. Knowledge can do that to somebody. Go to the average university and talk to some professor. They're about as dead as last year's Christmas tree. But they sure have a lot of knowledge up there. The Bible says that lips of the wise disperse knowledge. A wise person wants to teach what they know.
Wise people have an excitement about teaching, not an arrogance and an edge about it. You shouldn't have an edge because you know something. If you're arrogant and you're edgy about it, guess what? You're full of pride and you're not right. So much more I want to say. I'm going to draw a line in the outline and quit, even though I want to keep going. But we'll stop there for the night. Wisdom. Characteristics of wise people. Let's be truth seekers. Let's be truth dispellers. Let's be wise at home. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask you a question. Are you more wise than you are foolish? That's the goal. To be more wise than we are foolish.